Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Big MX Radio Podcast. As you know, all of these podcasts would not happen without all of my amazing sponsors, and I wouldn't have those sponsors if my audience didn't go to their websites, purchase things from their websites, and support those sponsors. And I'm so thankful that all of you have been doing exactly that. There's not a single month that goes by that I don't receive feedback from companies like Luxon MX. You can save 10% off every single order with Big MX 2025 at checkout. And same thing with Backyard Designs. Those guys are amazing. And now they also do custom paint jobs. They do custom wraps on your helmet, and that can be discounted as well. Big MX 24 saves you 24%. I talked to Jared about making that a 25% discount code. Yeah, it's only one extra percent, but hey, it all helps, right? So go to the website. As of right now, it's BigMX24, but we're looking to change that for February. Same goes with Racetech, guys. If you mention Racetech when ordering parts, you're going to save, I believe it's 15%. Same goes with WUSA. If you're looking at a brand new set of wheels, maybe if you're just looking for you can take your stock hubs and get a set of wheels built, mention Big MX Radio, you're going to save some money. Guts Racing, Big MX 20 saves you 20% at checkout. So far it's been really amazing working with some of these companies. We don't have a discount code for Moose Racing yet, but we're looking forward to working with those guys throughout the year, and they've got some great offerings on the gear side of things as well as the hard parts. If you haven't checked out Moose Racing's hard parts, honestly, they've got some of the best in the business and certainly some with the best bang for your buck. So I would seriously go check those guys out. We're also working with race winning brands this year. A couple of companies that have sort of jumped on board to be advertisers here on Big MX Radio, Pro-X. Not only the pistons, but also the myriad of hard parts that they also have, as well as Recluse clutches. If you're in the woods, you're going to want a Recluse. It's just the thing to use out there when you're going over the roots and the rocks and all that fun stuff. A Recluse clutch is something that you're definitely going to want to look into if you're doing some more of that. But we're about 2 minutes into this podcast. We haven't talked about the racing, so let's get straight to it. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to support my sponsors. Would not be able to do it without them, and would not be able to do it without listeners like you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Big MX Radio Podcast. This episode brought to you by Luxon MX. You can save 10% off your entire order with Luxon MX when you enter discount code BIGMX2025 at checkout. So a brand new set of triple clamps, like $1,000. You're going to save $100 just by using that discount code. Use it today. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt. With me on the line, a very special guest. I'm excited to have him on. He goes way faster than me on a dirt bike, but that's what can be said about pretty much any guest that ends up coming on this podcast. Goes by the name of Owen Coble. Owen, how's it going?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, dude. Anyone who takes some time away from training Supercross to talk to me about the sport that we love so much, it's a blessing in my heart. So, really excited to have you on here. You were riding some Supercross. Take me through the program a little bit. You're on Yamahas again for this year, different team. What's the ins and outs of the training program look like for you right now?
Yeah, I'm at MTF right now. Today was my third day on Supercross, and my first day was a little rough, but I'm learning really fast. Today I had a really good day, and, yeah, as of now, just going to get ready for Daytona Futures and just kind of go from there.
There you go. Daytona Futures is in the not-so-distant future. For you, when it comes to training for Supercross, you don't have to give me all the secret sauce down there at MTF, but what does it sort of look like as far as the progression? Is there a separate sort of like a scaled down track or a track that maybe doesn't have whoops? How do they sort of ease you into Supercross? Do you go around the whoops for a little while? I know I certainly would. How does that sort of work? Or do you just, they just throw you off the deep end and hope that, you're pinching hard enough with the knees?
Yeah, they honestly, they kind of just threw me in, which was good. Cause honestly, like, I was trying to learn because we've been riding two different tracks. So I tried to learn both of them pretty fast because obviously I know when we go racing, like I have to learn that track fast. And Like, that's definitely going to help me to learn that stuff fast. But yeah, they just threw me right in.
That's actually an interesting thing, and actually something that I talked to Daxton Bennick about years ago when he was still an amateur is you like in the amateur ranks, there's certain kids that come to a specific event and they're usually come up with, I wouldn't say some hype, but like there's an expectation there. You roll into Loretta's, you're supposed to do well. That's just how it's supposed to be. You roll into Springading, you're supposed to do well. How do you deal with the pressure of, like, say, going to a place like, say, Freestone or Oak Hill, that you probably don't have a ton of time on that track, but you're expected to lay it down and lay it down right away. Like, obviously, you spend a lot of time on a dirt bike, but there's something to be said about being, like, tuned into a specific racetrack.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if, like, where I am at right now, like, if I'm the person I think I am, like, I have all expectations to go out and win. Like, everyone around me believes in me, and I spend a lot of time getting myself ready, and everyone takes their time to get me ready. So I have no, obviously, the only expectation I have is to win.
Fair enough. So this coming up year, you're officially on four strokes. Breaks my heart a little bit to see you put down the two strokes, because that's my main love, and then my daily driver happens to be a two stroke. But for you, you're probably you're happy to have the like little beefier engine, a little bit more horsepower under the hood, and to finally be off the 125s. You were on there, was it 2 years you raced those things?
Yeah, 2 years.
Yeah, that's wild, dude. Like that, and those things looked sweet. Especially with how stiff you guys had them set up, like a full race bike 125. You don't see that in the sport as often as you once did. Take me through those bikes a little bit. They were pretty special.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, when I got on the bike for the first time, when I first tested, I was like, wow, this thing's pretty gnarly. Like, I thought I had some fast Huskies, but this thing definitely tops it. And right after that, I knew that that was kind of the bike I wanted to be on for the year. And we had to obviously figure some stuff out. And then I got the call that I was going to be able to sign for the year. And yeah, I wouldn't take anything back for that.
Fair enough. So when you moved from Super Minis to 125s, was there a big, like there, I'm sure there's a power difference, but not a huge difference given the fact it's a 112 to a 125. Like, and like, did you dabble with a one fit, like a 144 kit at all? Or like, how does that work as far as, displacement wise?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I never really raced Super Minis. I was hurt from like 85s,
Oh,
that
really?
whole 85 like chapter to Super Minis, and then I never really raced any of those. And then I got on 125 for like kind of myself for the year until I signed with NSA. But yeah, I rode a 150 Husky for a little bit, but never like a 144 Yamaha or anything, just 125.
Fair enough. So, for those who don't know all things Owen Koval, like where do you sort of originate from? Obviously, you weren't born and raised at MTF. I'm sure there's lots of kids that basically are. I'm sure you see some 50 kids there on a weekly basis. But how does the story go for you as far as your rise to where you're at?
Yeah, I grew up in Massachusetts, in Plymouth. Like, yeah, that's kind of where I'm from. And obviously, it gets cold there in the winter. So, like, if my dad had time in the winter, we'd go down for a few weekends to Florida and then just race a little bit back home. And then he seen that I could be pretty good, so he gave me an opportunity when I was 16 to go to MTF, and been here for 2 years, and I wouldn't regret it at all.
Well, yeah, there you go. Yeah, like eight. Are you 18 now?
Yeah, I just turned 19, yeah.
Oh, 19 years old. All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
So moving on to like full size bike, like full size four strokes. It's your B year. It'll be like full B mods. We'll be in the B class next year, which is when it comes to amateur national championships. Like as much as people do watch Open Pro Sport, 250 Pro Sport. A lot of eyes are on the B class. That is a proving ground. In order, and it almost feels like in order to have a great pro career, you must go prove yourself there. How much pressure does that put on a young guy to be able to not only keep that pace, but also be fit enough and healthy enough to be able to perform at that level throughout this year?
Yeah, I really trust my whole program that I'm on right now, and everyone behind me really trust me. So honestly, going into those events, like I'm not really nervous at all. I know what I can do and I know where I should be. Like Loretta's this year, I wasn't nervous at all. I knew that I was the guy in the class and everyone behind me backed me and gave me everything I needed to win, and I couldn't be more grateful for that. But yeah, I know I should be able to win, and that's where I'm at.
So when you're launching your NSA Yamaha over that big double heading back in towards the sand, and you hear that machine literally like land like into the rollers, kunk, like it is ridiculous how hard you guys land and then just go wide open through that corner. Like, what does that feel like? Because that looks violent, if nothing else.
Yeah, honestly, when I'm racing there, like I didn't really feel any of that, to be honest with you.
Okay, because you can audibly hear it when you hear your tires hit the ground. It is like punishing the soil. But you had yourself a pretty damn good week there. I was pretty impressed with you. I know I went on a podcast with the Verb Boys, and they're pretty blown away. You're rolling coal all day long with the two stroke.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, a lot of work was put in before that. And yeah, I couldn't be more grateful for the week I had.
For sure. So, like, I know you're staying on Yamahas this year. Different team, though. I don't know how much you want to touch on the NSA Yamaha thing. I think obviously they were a great supporter of yours for a long period of time. The Moose Racing gear looked good every single weekend at the track. Are you going to be in different gear for 2025 with the is it the Altus Motorsports Yamaha team?
Yeah, it's the Altus Motorsports Factory Amateur Yamaha team. And yeah, we're in Moose gear again. And like what you said on NSA, I couldn't be more grateful for everyone over there. Danny for taking me under his wing and what he did for everyone over there. Like, you don't see any factory amateur team doing. It was literally a factory pro team over there, the whole shop and everything, and took all the 250 guys under his wing. Like, couldn't be more grateful for everything he did for me over there.
No doubt. And then I also happen to see just moments before starting this podcast that you're looking for some personal sponsors. So, yeah, if anyone happens to listen to this, they got a business that they want promoted. Like hit you in the DMs or what?
Yeah, whatever. Just for some travel money for the races or whatever. You want to throw your logo on some gear, just hit me up.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, I've got a list of some prospects and some companies that I might be able to send your way at the end of after this call. Yeah, absolutely. So, rolling into 2025, you're riding Supercross right now. You're getting ready for that. And then it's Spring Nationals. There's obviously a lot of pressure that comes with those races. How often are you able to go out to those tracks? I assume you're probably only like say at a place like Freestone, like once a year.
Yeah. Last year was actually my first year at Spring Nationals. I've never been. And
there you go.
Freestone, I won all my first motos and that was good. And then just had some bad luck the second ones. And at Springding, I won my first motos and then, everyone came together and we just decided to leave after the whole lightning thing, which obviously stinks, but hopefully before that this year, I'm going to go out and test my race bike at one of the tracks out there and yeah, it should be a good year for me.
Fair enough. So who is your main trainer over at MTF and, like what's the vibe over there? Are they fun to work with? Are they tough to work with? Keep you guys pretty strict? What's it like?
Yeah, so I train with Colleen and Brian over there at MTF, and honestly, they couldn't ask for anyone better. They keep me on my toes all the time, and yeah, there's no slacking off. Like every day is a day to build, and we're not gonna have any days that we're just having fun. There's always days that we can do something to get better, even if it's a day with braking, drills, or anything.
Fair enough. So what is a drill that you find has really unlocked some speed for you, something that actually translates to the racetrack?
Probably no brake drills, just no brake at all and just all momentum.
Okay. So what does that look like as far as like they just take the brake caliper right off, or they just take your you're just not allowed to touch the brake, or what's the deal?
No, so they just kind of watch you, and like if you use your brakes, then you do it again. And there, when I first got to MTF, I thought I was doing good on my brake, and Colleen felt my rotor, and thing was pretty hot, so everyone had to go around again, but learn my lesson from that one.
That's funny. So, like, do you drag the back brake? Is that what you do?
No, it was my front brake. It was just like on
Front
the
brake.
when I first got there, for the corner track, I was just dragging a little bit, and it was a little warm, so everyone had to do it again.
Fair enough. That would be a tough habit to break, because that's sort of in a lot of ways, there's like a lot of people have sort of used that as like how they sort of like keep their front wheel in a rut, is just sort of just feather the front brake to sort of like make it stick, right? So
Yeah.
that would be old habits die hard when it comes to that.
Yep.
Fair enough. So who are your buddies down at MTF? I know like there's a ton of athletes, ton of fast guys. Who do you chum with? You gotta have at least one embarrassing story to one of your buddies or something.
Yeah, so when before the whole NSA thing, all that went down, me and Avery Long were really close, but I couldn't be more happy for him for going to California and signing with AEO, but now that he's gone,
He
just
probably doesn't even know
kinda
his own first name right now.
Yeah, he's doing good. I bet he'll be back hopefully this weekend or next weekend. But
Fair
yeah, he's
enough.
doing
Did
good.
you text him after he went to Indonesia?
Oh yeah, I texted him, but I'm just like, after that happens, you just want some space. You just want to kind of regroup and
Yeah.
start getting ready. But yeah, he'll be doing good.
Yeah, absolutely. He'll bounce back from that. And dude, yeah, Supercross can jump up and bite you at a moment's notice. He's got a really bright future ahead of him, as do you. When it comes to like your technique wise, what is it that you need to focus on in order to drop your lap times? What is a bad habit of yours, aside from being on your brake every once in a while, which apparently you've now you've nixed that issue. What do you continue to work on in order to make yourself better?
Just a little more gas in the corners, like where you think you let off, just hold it a few more tenths, just into the corner, just trust your bike how I should.
Fair enough. And how do you like the Yamaha 250F? Obviously, it is the powerhouse of the class, putting out a lot of ponies. But at the same time, you need to be in control of it.
Yeah, exactly. That bike handle's absolutely incredible, and I couldn't thank everyone enough for giving me the opportunity to ride the bike.
That's rad, dude. So, what's the parental relationship like? Obviously, it's sport of motocross. It's different than a lot of other sports. Obviously, we probably have a mechanic that goes with you to the line, but for the longest time, I'm sure it was your old man, and maybe it still is. Tell me a little bit about sort of that relationship, and who works on your bikes now.
Yeah, so I have a full-time mechanic. Me and him get along really good. And yeah, me and my dad used to go to the gate all the time, and obviously, like every rider and parent, they've had a few
Yeah.
rough days. Just like they just want you to do the best. And
Yeah.
obviously when you're younger, you don't see that. But yeah, me and him get along great, and he wants nothing but the best for me, and he fully supports me, so I couldn't thank him enough for that.
Heck yeah. Would he be upset if he told the story about when you guys like a drive home that wasn't so happy?
No, I mean, there's definitely been a few silent ride homes, just like times when I've been like, dang, like that shouldn't have happened. When he's like, I know he's upset, but yeah, no, like he wants nothing for the best of me, like I said, so yeah.
Fair enough. I'm always curious about Moto Dad stories, because up here in Canada, like, we're pretty chill. There's not too much as far as like crazy Moto Dads, but I've literally seen like at Loretta's like two dads who straight up want to like throw down on each other over a 65C 7-9 race. And you're like, sweet. That is awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, you ever seen anything quite like that?
I have, and I've maybe seen like a few like kids go at it, but no, not really any dads. I kind of like after my motor, I kind of try to stay out of that and just go back and regroup for the next one.
Fair enough. Well, who else from your team trains at MTF? I saw that they also had Lachlan Turner in there. That girl has some skills. If I'm picking a girl to make the motos at a national, it's her. She's got the speed. Absolutely.
Yeah, to be honest, I've never talked to her. I know that she's on the team, but my teammate McCadden Fitch, he has the
Yep.
chance to be really good. I ride with him every day, and that kid has a bright future. And yeah, he's good. And also Colby Lesser's there. He just got here, and he rides 125 for the team, I believe. So yeah, he looks good as well.
Yeah, like I was actually texting, I was messaging with him yesterday about doing a podcast in a couple of weeks from now. And yeah, he's still on the 125. He was on it last year. Like, you guys just like swap 125 stories. You're just like, you're just looking at that thing like, oh, fond memories slash that thing goes nowhere.
Yep.
Like, compared to the 250, like, their 125s are pretty gutless.
Yeah, 125s were fun, but I'm so glad to be on a 250 now. E starts nice and
No
just
doubt.
wait. Yeah.
No, I like it. Are you a hockey fan?
A little
You're
bit.
from
Yeah,
Massachusetts. You bet. You gotta like the
I watch the
Bruins.
Bruins all the time. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. I'm all the way up in here in Canada, so it's and I was literally playing hockey yesterday, so
Real.
I had to ask that question. I think that's all I got for you, big guy. I wish you the best of luck as you move in towards continuing to train for Daytona as well as Spring Nationals. I know you've got a lot of great sponsors. I'm sure there's probably some newer sponsors on the team that you don't have all listed out and stuff like that. But give some supporters some love here on the podcast. Let them know that you appreciate it.
Yeah, I can't thank everyone enough behind me. Yeah, everyone that supports me, like, wouldn't be here without them, obviously. Yamaha and Moose Elite, Monster, just all them. Can't thank them
Perfect,
enough.
man. Heck yeah. I'm sure your Dunlops are hooking up on a regular basis.
Yeah, Dunlop as well. I just re-signed with them, so I couldn't be more grateful for that.
Cool, dude. Well, Owen Koval here on the Big MX Radio podcast. Thank you so much for making the time on the show. This has been a good one.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, cool, buddy.
Welcome to Best 42 in the land. All ages from kids up to grown men. Walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Who's the best? Who's it gonna be? In Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wind spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Times this one week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch. Golf carts, pit bikes, and rowdy fans. Play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by. The 30-second card's on its side.
It's time to get
out. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wheel spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the field. If you can put it all together three times. This one week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2.